So hello again, and here we are back with the Beyond the 90 podcast, powered by One Shot Football. I'm your host, Steve McBain, and we're here in Singapore on a Friday. It's the last Friday podcast of the year. We're down to three today only, so I guess you could call it, since it's Christmas, the three wise men. So we have pod regulars, Mr. Tom Warren. Tom, how are you?
Excellent, thank you.
Mr. Ryan Marsden, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Steve.
And next week we're attempting something slightly different, a sort of an end-of-term get-together, which will be next Wednesday in the salubrious location of my basement. It doesn't get any better than that. And we'll just be going through the highs and lows of the year. So that show should be available for download next Thursday. Now then, moving on to the week's news. It's been a pretty poor week for United. Another tepid 0-0 draw at the weekend, and then crashing out of the Champions League and into the Europa League, going down 3-2 at Wolfsburg. Ryan, I mean, not a great week for United.
No, I'm not going to try and take some positives from it. I mean, you could argue that it was a good performance. At least they scored some goals, but I'm not going to really gloss over that. This was always the difficult match for them. It's not really about this match. It was the prior matches that led to the result.
It was probably the PSV draw, right?
Yeah, that really was the kicker. It wasn't a particularly difficult group as far as Champions League groups can be.
Manchester United never get a difficult group.
maybe not. It's disappointing. I mean, that's all it is for me as a United fan. And actually, English football, it's better for English football to have more English clubs in the competition and to go out at this stage. Given the investment of the club in the players, the expectations, it's obviously
bad. I mean, the dropping into the Europa League, I mean, two things. I mean, is that going to harm their... I mean, Tom, do you think that's going to harm their chances in the league, the whole Thursday-Sunday thing? And with Liverpool in there as well, I mean, they have to take the Europa League seriously, do they?
Well, definitely. I mean, you saw people's... all the ex-players' comments after the game saying how disgraceful it is that United have dropped out. One key point I thought was quite telling was in the mixed media zone after the game, not one Manchester United player stopped, fronted up and said anything. They all just walked straight past with their heads down, and even Smalling, who's meant to be their captain, just walked straight past without saying anything. But in the Europa League, hopefully they'll get Valencia up against good old Gary Neville.
Well, it would seem to be written in the stars. I mean, Valencia obviously had a dreadful... I mean, Lyon have been terrible this season, and to get thumped at home. But I mean, look, I mean, Valencia, I mean, there's a reason, I guess, they got a new manager. I mean, Ryan, I mean, they're talking about Van Gaal and a new contract. I mean, Roy Keane this week came out actually in defence of Van Gaal.
Wow.
And was just basically saying that the players are not good enough and that they need to take more responsibility. He was maintaining that the managers get too much credit when it goes well and they get too much flack when it goes badly. I mean, it sounds like Van Gaal's pretty bulletproof. Is he getting a new contract, or?
Well, he doesn't want a new contract, does he? He wants to see out his contract, that's it. And I think that he's been made that clear from day one.
So obviously, then they'll send his wife flowers.
Maybe, yes.
And then he'll leave next September instead. Or
I mean, there was some...
But he got stick. Obviously the media, we all look at it. He has been pretty bulletproof, except this last week. He got some big stick from the back pages, pundits. It's as if that was the straw that broke the camel back, that result, or the fact they're not in the knockout phases or the next phases of the Champions League. That seemed to turn the tide. And I don't know, that it could accelerate his exit, but he's very proud. He gives the bulletproof persona, and I think he will see out his contract if allowed. And he may as well, unless, of course, the ointment to that is Guardiola, to the club maker. A snap decision judgment that wasn't going to be the case 2 weeks ago.
I mean, in the fans, I mean, some of the fans' forums I read this week, 58% in the snap vote wanted him out now. In another poll, 40% wanted him out now. But even in the rest of those, the rest of them was they want him gone at the end of the season, of this season. I mean, it's quite bad. Everyone's coming out and having a pop at him, as we said, the ex-players. But his stats, he did the old Rafa Benitez well compared to last year. We've done this. We went further in the Capital One Cup. What, by one game? That's not a good statistic to have to bring out when you're under pressure.
It's not even a statistic. That you shouldn't be doing that. That's a very poor defence.
A bit like against Wolfsburg. So.
The, Look, the way they do this, they man up as a team and as a manager, and the only way to rescue any credibility from this is absolutely storm through the Europa Cup and win it by a country mile.
Well, I mean, Chelsea dropped down after they won the Champions League. The next season, they got knocked out, and they went through and won it.
That's the only way you can rescue this, and that would be a job well done. There's extra fixtures; it is a burden, but that's the only way you can come out the other side with respect.
And as long as those dressing rooms aren't too hot on the away legs, I saw that was one of their excuses as well for losing at Wolfsburg.
But anyway, so Chelsea did win their group. I actually stayed up and watched this game. It was a much, much better performance. And I don't think Porto should be underestimated. They were a decent team. But I think what was quite telling for Chelsea was that, you know, Cesc Fabregas didn't play. And there looked a lot more purpose and energy. There was better balance with, you know, Ramirez and Oscar. And Manchester City, I mean, is the tide finally turning there, Tom? I mean, they've won their group, you know, a bit of luck going their way. I mean, it was a great end to the game as well.
I mean, it was a great game to watch as a neutral. What I found quite telling was it looked like someone had tied Otamendi and Demichelis together as centre-halves because they both just moved across. I mean, they were, for a team of that stature, the ease of which they were broken down by Mönchengladbach, is quite worrying.
But this has been a theme for City this year. I mean, Spurs ripped them to pieces, Manchester City, Liverpool, and then also Stoke.
And there's one key factor there, no Kompany. When Kompany's played this season, they've only conceded one goal. And when Kompany hasn't played, they've conceded 15.
But even with Kompany, I mean, there's a distinct lack of mobility in that centre-half region.
As well, I think there's no combative defensive midfielder. They've got Fernando and Fernandinho, but there's no Nigel de Jong.
Do you think the difference this season is that the midfielders aren't supporting the defence? I mean, Touré, he had legs, you know, he's attacking, he's defensive, he really helps out. Is he not helping out as much? It's about preventing the defence having problems.
Well, he's not been on the pitch.
I mean, that's
been the main problem. I'll tell you who was on the pitch, Ryan. That was Olivier Giroud. And Arsenal came back from the dead. You must be, I mean, standing back in admiration, Ryan, at Arsenal's character. And
I will try not to make myself a hypocrite. I'll say it's good for English football that another English club are through, and that includes Arsenal.
Yes, definitely. I mean, for once, you know, as much as some of us like to ride Arsenal here... Giroud, he took a big knock to his ankle and he had over 5 minutes of treatment on the pitch. Now, normally you'd think, oh, that's him gone, he's going to walk off the pitch. But he came back and he did manage to shake it off and get that important third goal.
And Ozil was excellent again. I guess the thing is it's how far can these clubs go? I mean, I'm not someone that bigs up Chelsea just for the sake of it, even though I'm a Chelsea fan. But I would still fancy Chelsea to probably go the furthest of the three teams, despite their form. I mean, February and March is a long way away. I mean, or is this the year that Manchester City finally do something?
It's all consistency. We all know each of those teams, on their day, can beat anyone. They can. They can rip shreds out of opposition. Who is going to have that consistency? Actually, I agree with you, Steve. I think Chelsea have... the fight they have to prove something from this season. What better proof of it's not been a bad season is to raise your game in the Champions League? They must be so motivated.
Well, no one's ever won the Champions League and been relegated at the same
And they have Mourinho. As much as some people do not like him, you can't argue that Mourinho is probably one of the best coaches in Europe.
He'll park the bus when it's needed to be parked. You know,
Alex Ferguson came out in support of him this week, but one manager who's not going to be getting any more support is Gary Monk, who is finally put out of his misery, I guess. I mean, I still think it's premature, but you could kind of understand the reasons. I mean, candidates take over, maybe a return for Brendan Rodgers, but I mean, I guess he needs to come down a level to rebuild his reputation. As good a place as any?
There's a number of candidates. It's just a shame. I think that's
I agree, but you can understand.
Absolutely. Such a great start, such a great performance last year, but you can't look past that last run of 12 games. I mean, it's just dreadful.
They're saying since the summer that a lot of players that came in were bought in over his head. They were players that were bought. They've gone from a club where they paid £25,000 a week to players. who wanted to play and believed in the idea, and now they've got £60,000-£70,000 a week players there who don't have the respect for Gary Monk.
But Swansea, but it's not the idea with Swansea. It's very much, I think, like sort of Sevilla and things where the coach is interchangeable. Basically, the club has a structure and a system, and as they're growing, I guess they're aspiring to have better players. So I guess what you're saying, I mean, you know, what you would argue is that, well, okay, Monk just goes out, but you bring someone else in who goes with that philosophy. Now, Brendan Rodgers obviously was very successful there. He's the highest win percentage of the last three managers. You know, it might make sense for him to go back and just rebuild.
Would he see that as a backward step or a good step? Because, you know, better the devil you know, familiarity would be good for him. But
unless Rodgers is prepared to go abroad, he is not going to get a job in England of the same stature as Liverpool, unless he's holding out for the England job.
This week there has been rumours and rumbling saying that he genuinely believes he's going to be the next England manager. Three names I saw linked with the Swansea job this morning: Gus Poyet, Warburton at Rangers, and Dennis Bergkamp.
Bergkamp is interesting.
Bergkamp, apparently, he's at Ajax, but nobody's not really sure what he actually does at Ajax, but apparently
He's the attacking coach there. I guess if Swans are not in any danger of going into Europe, it's fine to Bergkamp, because you can just, you know, you can take the train everywhere. I don't know why anyone would still be looking to hire Gus Poyet, especially when you've got a very specific club structure. Maybe they feel they can control him, but anyway, people who have had some long trips in Europe, Spurs and Liverpool, I mean, are the English clubs finally taking the Europa League seriously?
Spurs, yes, definitely. They've got a good... I think Spurs have brought through some very good youth players by using those games in the Europa League. They've brought through like Mason, Bentaleb have had a nice run in the team. Dele Alli, who's now, you know, very arguably one of the very best young attacking midfielders in the Premier League. They've all cut their teeth in the Europa League with those nice long trips.
Well, I just wonder as well, I mean, I think one of the big plus points for the Europa League now is the Champions League ticket that comes with winning it. And both Liverpool and Spurs must look at that competition and think, we can win this. I mean, the irony being that the top four is probably more accessible this year than it's ever been. But it is good to see them, you know, topping their groups. And then I think with Manchester United in there now, I mean, it's a pretty strong contingent if they take it seriously.
If you look for credibility, look, it's a European competition. They should all be striving to win it, no question. But actually, the calibre of the teams in this season's Europa League is the history behind the teams. You have Valencia, United.
Well, Porto are in there now. I mean, it's. I don't know where this arrogance has come to the competition. I mean, nobody used to see the old UEFA Cup or the European Cup Winners' Cup and start saying, "Oh, we've got to go here, there," you know, and start complaining about all these, you know, names in Eastern Europe and things. I mean, I don't know where this has sort of really, you know, crept in.
Overpaid footballers, yeah. And easy life.
The expansion of the Champions League. So now some of, and no offence to the Europa League, but some of these lesser teams from these weird and wonderful parts of Europe that have now actually get into the Europa League, whereas normally those slightly lesser teams that, for example, Malmo, who obviously got beaten 8-0 by Real Madrid, realistically, should they be in the Champions League?
No, and it drags the very low tier of
I think Malmo have won a European Cup.
No, that's one for this. Where's Stato?
Oh no,
this
no,
week?
No! I think they didn't. They didn't. Wasn't one of the ones that Forest won? Didn't they beat Malmo in the final?
But of the,
anyway, long time ago.
Since the Bosman, only four countries or clubs from four countries have won the Champions League.
And a lesser competition it is for it. Now, I mean, Stoke last weekend absolutely took City to the cleaners. He played Arnautovic, Bojan and Shaqiri. And I think he was quite honest afterwards, said it was the first time he'd had the guts to do it. I mean, can these guys consistently, you know, turn it on?
I think so. They are a team that, don't forget, they've just come together this season. It takes time. We all know this. They're halfway through the season. They should be gelling, and they're proving that they are.
I mean, they've won
this is an exciting squad.
They've won three of the last four now.
Won them well. You know,
Hughes
would have
obviously
fluid attacking. It's seamless. It's well organized.
I mean, they had a terrible start, and since then, I mean, you know, their form's really, really improved. I'm just looking. They've won six of the last nine they've won.
I mean, we all know Hughes would have looked at the fixtures at the start of the season and where he's picking, right, I should get a home win here, I should get a draw here, you know, or maybe an away win there. And he's actually, as you said, he's had the guts to change it up and go, right, I'm going to attack City and see what happens. And he's come away with probably, in his eyes, 3 bonus points, you know, for his league position rather than what he probably would have hoped to have get at the start of the season.
The confidence that's going to give those players and that team, that's the real bonus. They'll go into their next games going, we can beat anyone. Yeah. And that's extra points right there.
I also think it highlights a problem with City, though, that if you take the game to City, they don't like it. They don't enjoy people coming out and going at them. They like people to sit off so they can settle into the game and then move forward.
Definitely. Okay. All right. Well, that takes us to the end of part one, and we'll be back with part two. And so here we are back with part two of the Beyond the 90 podcast, powered by One Shot Football. It's our final Friday show from Singapore of the year. So accordingly, what we're going to have a look at is some end of year predictions for 2016 from the guys. So I'm going to kick off, Tom and Ryan, by asking you who will be the Premier League champions.
I think Arsenal.
Is that just an emotional hedge?
It's a painful thing to say, which is why I really struggle to get it out. Arsenal,
okay.
Tom? I would have to agree. I'd have to agree. I genuinely think Arsenal have the best chance within everyone else. City, to me, look a little bit too vulnerable.
That's it. It's the fragility of the others versus Arsenal. And Arsenal are fragile, but they're playing well. They've got it together. I mean, they've even got injury problems, and they're stringing great performances. So,
I mean, they ground it out last week at home to Sunderland, you know, and you Sam Allardyce loves to beat people like Arsenal and everyone like that. So for them to go down 3-1, you know.
I would love to be proven wrong, though.
Yes, yeah.
Well, I think you will. I think Manchester City will win it again. Okay. I just think they've got too much quality up front.
They're getting found out, though, more regularly. I mean, that's...
Well, they've lost... I mean, what are they? They've lost... Yeah, they've lost 4 times already.
That's
10
games.
Karin Aguero. I mean, he went off with that knock last week, 2 weeks ago. He's just hurt his heel.
But they also have the capacity to buy in January, which I think they will, rather than just talk about it like Wenger does. And obviously you can't rule out United, who could just, you know, 1-0 their way to it. But anyway, we will see. So what will be the top 4, guys?
Arsenal, United, City. I'm going to say Leicester. I think they've demonstrated that they really have the capability.
I heard someone, no club that's been at top of the league at this position, at this point in the season, has been top of the league, has finished lower than 3rd.
Wow. Okay. I don't expect them to obviously continue this run.
Do you think they'll make the top 4?
I think they'll come 4th.
I'm going Arsenal, City, Spurs, Leicester is in my opinion.
Well, there's no point me asking you then where Leicester will finish, because you both think top 4.
Yeah, I just think even Sir Alex Ferguson, I'm sure everybody heard this week, came out and said if they buy the correct players in January, they could even win it.
I wouldn't disturb that team at all. I think that's
a really good move.
They need some depth.
It's good move by Estian Cambiasso not to renew his contract.
But Mahrez and Vardy, if they can keep those guys fit and on the pitch.
But that's the problem. I mean, I heard that Vardy was starting to get quite sort of strained and tired. I mean, it's whether they've really got the depth. I mean, they do have this big run of games.
They don't have European distractions. You know, that's the thing. They will have less games this season than... the clubs surrounding.
Well, I think I the two Manchester clubs, Arsenal and Spurs, who I think are looking quite a solid team. I think Leicester, for me, will. I mean, they might come fifth or sixth, I think. But anyway, you guys got them top 4. Well, you know, it would be wonderful if they did. I mean, yeah. Leicester in the Champions League, that would be great. The bottom 3, and you're not allowed to say Chelsea.
I'm going to go with 2 of the 3 that are in there now. I think Newcastle and Sunderland are both in a lot of trouble. I think it's a bit of a job too far for Sam Allardyce with the other teams around them. I think Bournemouth, you know, they're going to carry a lot of confidence from last week from beating Chelsea. I think they can get a result this week against United. And I think Norwich are in real danger. I think they'll probably end up dropping in around there as well. That'll be my three. Norwich, Newcastle, Sunderland.
I am Villa, Newcastle, Sunderland will, you know, under Allardyce will find the required points. So Villa, Newcastle, and whilst I enjoy the way Bournemouth play and I'd love them to stay up, I just don't see them having the depth. They've already got injury problems. They'll get found out Feb, March, April. They'll go on a terrible run. So I'm going for Villa, Newcastle, Bournemouth.
Okay, well, for me, I mean, Villa, 6 points after 15 games. I don't think anybody's staying up.
Let's just leave now.
After that. I mean, Leicester did show last year that you can go in these runs, but I just don't think they're good enough. I think Sunderland will be fine. Norwich is really bothering me because Alex, I really, really like Alex Neil, but I just don't think the squad has the quality, and they've had, you know, a lot of results where they've lost points in the last 5 minutes and things. And then for me, Bournemouth, they're already injury ravaged, and then once you start getting into these heavier pitches and the game's coming thick and fast, I just don't think they've got the quality. They've been really great the last 2 weeks. You know, they got a draw against Everton and obviously a great result against Chelsea, but just not quite for me. So Norwich, Bournemouth, and Villa for me. And who's going to replace them, Tom?
Well, yeah, coming up from the Championship, guys, you know, there's so many games in the Championship.
Such a close division, isn't it? It's so enjoyable.
You can look now, they're all, I think there's about 5-6 points separating.
It's either the best or the worst league in Europe, yeah, depending on how you look at it.
I think Brighton are up there now, and they've got a very good squad, and they've just obviously got Wilson from United on loan. I think that's a great move.
Can't have Brighton and Palace in the same division, it'll be carnage.
Derby under Paul Clement, obviously they had a bit of a sticky start. They were drawing every game, and I think as we discussed quite recently on the pod, you know, he's got them playing. They now understand his ideas. I think they'll make a good late charge, and you can't avoid Steve Bruce. He's done it how many, three times now with them, two or three times he's brought teams up. They would be, I think they'll, the between those three, they'll have the two automatic spots.
Okay, all right. La Liga. Is it just automatic that Barcelona's going to win this, or can Benitez pull this one out of the fire?
If Benitez wasn't the manager at Real Madrid, I'd say Real Madrid, but unfortunately he is.
You do
Barcelona.
Start to really think, what was the point in getting rid of Ancelotti and replacing him with Benitez?
That's right.
I mean, Atletico have been, you know, a bit better again this season.
Atletico now, they're just quietly going about their work again as usual, just sitting in there. You know, if someone drops and makes a point, I think, you know, Atletico would be a good outside thing, but again, obviously, it's
Barcelona can buy players again in January, so I would fully expect them to. They've got the Atletico captain coming in,
yeah,
or the ex Atletico captain. Okay, all right. Champions League.
I'm gonna go with Bayern Munich.
Okay.
I'm gonna go Real Madrid just to be slightly over. I think Benitez, he'll block it. You know, a bit of a Mourinho's park the bus. Get him close enough to the final. If the draw's kind enough to him, I think Madrid could have it. You know, Ronaldo's ego.
Benitez used all his luck in that competition, I tell you.
Well, I mean, I guess if you've got Ronaldo in the team, you can win any game. Barcelona, no one's retained it in the new format. But I'll tell you what, I'm going with Chelsea, mate. We're going to do it again. And I'll tell you what, when it happens, I'm going to replay this pod. I'll tell you. So, and the Europa League.
I would love to see a Man United Valencia final and then Gary Neville to get one up on United.
That'd be fairy tale stuff, wouldn't it?
It's not going to happen.
I think Seville. I mean, they won it last year, obviously went into the Champions League, dropped down.
Sevilla is the correct answer.
It's a competition they know well, they know how to win it. That's who my money's on, yeah.
Yep.
I would go with Sevilla as well, only because the English clubs have too many games. And I think that just comes, and that just tells at the latter stages of the season, and it's a shame.
I mean, there's still a few 4-5 hour round trips each
I think
way.
But the only thing is that that affects their form the next weekend. But they're fairly fresh going into a game on a Thursday.
But over a long season, you know, the last three.
I guess with Liverpool and Manchester United, it's going to be how they're doing in the Premiership, because they'll prioritise that. You know, if United are, say, are going for the title, Liverpool are close to top four, they'll go for that rather than Europa League. But
I don't think clubs like United or Liverpool should be prioritising anything. They should be. They've
I
got
agree.
Big squads.
Yep.
But, you know, it'd be different if it was a small squad. But I'm sorry, there's no
Completely
excuse. They
agree.
Should be
Completely agree.
You know.
Okay. And European Championships?
I've said it before. I said England.
Belgium.
All right. Well, I mean, that's slightly more fanciful than me saying Chelsea will win the Champions League. You reckon Belgium can actually...
Well, this is their version of the golden generation. I know the FIFA rankings are very, very flattering and has them as number one in the world, but I genuinely think they could do something.
I just always say Italy, so I'm going to keep saying Italy. But actually, no, jokes aside, I think Spain are going to come back. I think they had a... I don't know what happened at the World Cup, just a complete aberration. But they've still got some very, very That's good true. Players.
Quality,
isn't it? I think, you know, got guys like Isco and stuff coming through.
I mean, look at the players that can't get into that team. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I mean, they have a lot of quality and a lot of know-how. Okay. Now, will Jose Mourinho still be Chelsea manager on Monday? No, sorry, at the end of the season?
Yes.
I would agree, yes. I don't think they'll... I mean, even if they do get rid of him, apart from Ancelotti... Who else are you going to get in?
There's no one better.
And there's no. And as I think we've all said before, the only people that are available have managed Chelsea before anyway.
And will he still be there at the start of next season?
I would say yes.
That's an interesting nuance to the question. Yes, the same logic. Don't think there's anyone better.
Okay. Now, I'm presuming that that Roy Hodgson will probably move on after the European Championships regardless. Who do we think is... in line to replace him?
Pardiola. The Pards. I think he thinks he's got a shot at the job because he's calmed down his touchline behaviour. He's not being as aggressive or making the right way. So I think he's got a chance. I think he's a good manager. I think he'd do well for England, especially with people like, if Gary Neville still has his England job as well. You know, some good young coaches out there.
They can go a bit left field, England, with their appointments. I mean, Kerbishley wouldn't be a bad appointment.
Well, if it doesn't, I mean, it, depending, if either it goes really well for Neville at Valencia or it goes really badly. I mean, could Neville take it?
I think he's too young. I think you have to be old for the England job. But if so, I don't think he'd do a bad job. I mean, he's got respect to the players and he knows... Well, it will be
well I'd warrant he knows a lot more about international football than Alan Pardew.
But I think, yeah...
It'd be a brave appointment, but he might not want it. You know, it's a part... Well, it's maybe harsh. Compared to club football, it's a lot less intense. It's more of a part-time job. He might not want that.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the younger managers, they do want club football. Okay, will England get through the... I mean, the groups haven't been pulled yet, but will England get through their group? I mean, Ryan, you said they're going to win it, so yes.
The answer is yes.
Tom?
Yeah, the draw is today, I believe. Is it today, the draw for the group?
You've got your finger on the pulse, unlike me.
Yeah, I think the draw is today. Depending on the group, I think we've got a chance. I think most of the home nations, actually, if the draw falls the correct way, I think we could see pretty much all the home nations get out of the groups.
I want all the home nations in one pot. I mean, just in one group.
Brilliant.
And you could just play it in, like, Cardiff and just stay at home and the whole thing.
That'd be a great tournament.
So, what will England's... Ryan, what will England's starting 11 be on June the whatever?
Well, most of it's obvious. I guess the left back is the interesting one for me. So Hart in goal, obviously.
No, Butland, you're not going to...
No.
No, okay.
Hart in goal. Centre-back's choice of Cahill, Stones, Smalling. I mean, one of two of those three.
I have a feeling he'll go with Cahill and Stones, but I actually think Smalling and Stones might be
He could
better.
Come into his own this season. That's the thing. He's playing well, and if he continues to play well...
Hodgson trusts him, and he likes the players he trusts. So.
The left-back... look, there's two good injured left-backs. They should be fit in time.
Whoever's the most fit.
And that's Shaw and Baines, yeah. Right?
Whoever's the most fit, I guess, right?
That would be my choice of those two. I hope... I mean, they're both quality. I hope they get fit in time. And...
Right back, Klein?
Well, that's the position. It's got to be Klein for me.
Yep. And then what are we going with? A 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1 or a...
Well...
You've got to fit Wayne Rooney in, right?
Well, so. That was going to be my little thing. I think come the summer... There could be some interest. I don't think he's an automatic selection at the moment. And that sounds crazy.
The problem with both Hodgson and Van Gaal is that by making Rooney your captain,
they've
you just
him
sort
in,
of box yourself.
There's still a long way to go. Look, up front, you've got Kane, Vardy, Sturridge.
Okay, come on. Let's have your 11. So we've got your back four. Who's your central midfield?
I think Carrick gets in there as a holding role in an important tournament. Carrick, and then, you've got Wilshere should be fit. He should be back. He'll be back and playing. He'll be back soon, right?
He's got tonsillitis or something.
He's a good player. So Carrick, Wilshere, Barkley should be playing. Milner. As well, I mean, he's a good solid player in there.
You can't just name the whole squad. I asked you from starting 11.
Okay. Carrick, Wilshere, Milner, Sterling in an advanced midfield.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got two left. There's four, right? Sturridge, Welbeck, Rooney, Kane, Vardy.
Welbeck.
Who?
Kane, Oxlade-Chamberlain.
I think Vardy will be injured. That'll count him out.
Walcott?
I don't like him, so I'm not going to include him. Sturridge, Rooney, but obviously Kane and Vardy will be interlinked.
I mean, I think you're making big calls saying that Sturridge and Wilshere will be available. I mean, history tells you. Yeah. Henderson? No Henderson?
No, I don't like him either.
Hodgson does. I didn't ask who your starting 11 was. Who do you think will be the starting 11?
That's true, you did say that.
Tom?
I think Butland will get oust Hart in goal.
Really?
Yeah, right. I think he again is part of a very good Stoke team. He's coming to the fore.
They always play safe.
But how many mistakes has Butland made this season? And how many times has Hart
dropped
the ball?
He did push Ashley Cole out. Remember the last World Cup to take Luke Shaw.
Oh, that's true.
Obviously, you got the two at right back. You're going to go Klein, mm-hmm. Klein or Walker, but I think you'd Klein.
Carl Walker's not, he's just not a footballer. Yeah. I don't know what he is.
Stones and Smalling will start in the centre half. Smalling, because of the way he's come on for United this season, he has developed really well. Yep. And Stones is an amazing footballer. You know, he could be signed, I think I read some of this week, and I agree, he could be signed by anybody. Yep. You know, he could fit into the Barca, Real Madrid team.
Okay. But Kale, it's a shame to have him left out. He's a quality.
Well, he's
rock.
Probably a steady head to come on, you know, maybe
later.
Can
he play right back? And...
Is he right
back? No, he can't. Shaw, I think he'll be fit enough. From what I read and see and hear, that his recovery's going well. If he can get six or seven games at the end of the season in the league, I think that'll be enough. If he starts in April, that'll be enough tournament football. And he's going to be fresh.
That's true. This is a good thing about injured players. We will actually need fresh
players. That is a serious injury. So you're going Wilshere.
Wilshere in the centre. If he's fit, he's too good a player not to play. And Roy will pick him. He likes him. I would probably go sort of. He's going to play Walcott probably on the wing. I think he's going to play.
Who's going to play with Wilshere?
I think he'll play Barkley.
That's a really,
too
really
young.
Unbat. I mean, there's no defensive shield.
Just pace, all out pace is what I think.
Wilshere, Barkley.
Yeah, Barkley. This Walcott right, Sterling left, coming off it, and then you're going to have Vardy. I think if he stays fit, that's the thing. But as we've said, he's playing one game a week.
England will be winning matches 5-4.
I
think you're both picking the 11s you like rather than what he's going to do. I reckon it will be Hart, Klein, Stones, and Cahill. Even though I think Smalling should play, I think Luke Shaw if he's fit. Then I think your central midfield will be Henderson and. If Wilshere's fit, he would be in there. None of you have an Lallana, I've noticed. So I'll go Wilshere and Henderson. And then ahead of him, Sterling, Walcott, Rooney up front, because that's who he's going to pick. And then I need one more, don't I? I'll go Lallana.
Rooney could still be drying out, though, in some clinic, though, in the summer.
It's a bit harsh.
A few rumours emanating... Starting from Tom, I might add.
Or he'll be in China for $75 million.
Now, where will Pep Guardiola be? In which dugout will Pep Guardiola be next August? If any?
Bayern. He'll still be at Bayern. His family like Bayern. Rather than Bayern. I know this is a natural time he signs on again. I think he's coming to the Christmas break. I think he'll stay at Bayern. I don't... as much as he would come to English football, I still think there's too many.
His contract ends this summer.
Yeah, I think he'll sign on again.
Really?
Why?
I think he wants a new challenge.
I don't think he'll go to Chelsea. The reason being is I don't think he would get enough control.
He won't go to Chelsea.
I don't think he'll go to Chelsea. I don't think he'd go to City. I don't think he sees those clubs as on the level. I mean, there's a reason he picked Bayern because it's, you know, there are a few names that are above it. Manchester United is
going to be my call.
I don't know.
Manchester United.
But the thing is, they'd have to be getting a warm, sort of fuzzy feeling from him now. I mean, didn't they?
They've got to be having conversations.
They tried to get him when Ferguson.
Well, Ferguson's already there, stroking his back, and you know. That's
the one job I think he would take. Yep. So yeah, the Bayern.
I did read this morning that they've sounded out Ancelotti. People at United have been speaking to him.
I think you can just pick up any newspaper and read that, you know, Ancelotti's been sounded out by anyone.
Which is his raised eyebrow, isn't it?
I tend to agree. I think he'll still be at Bayern, but I think the only other alternative is Manchester United. Okay, well, we'll see you next year to find out just how wrong we were. That takes us to the end of part two, and we'll be back with part three and some weekend previews. Okay, so here we are back with part three of the Beyond the 90 podcast. So we're going to do some weekend previews before our weekly quiz. And what a quiz we have today. We're shameless. We're on the bandwagon. It's a Star Wars quiz. Now, West Ham Stoke. This should be a galactic fixture, right? I mean, who would have thought it? This would be one for the purists.
It's going to be a great game. And you've got great characters. I think there should be a Bilic cam, by the way. He's got such character, and he just would be focused on him. Looking forward to the game. Open, you know, we saw how Stoke are playing at the moment, especially last week. So, an exciting match. And I think it'll be end-to-end. I'm going to go for a high-score draw, if you'll allow me. 3-3.
Oof. I think West Ham have struggled at home this season a little bit. They've still got quite a lot of injuries, which Winston Reid's just been added to that list of injuries. I think it will play into Stoke's hands that West Ham will probably sit off them a little bit. I'm going to go for Stoke away 0-0, 2-0.
2-0, okay. 0-0 for me. Okay.
0-0? Are you serious?
Bar humbug, it's Christmas. Now, Villa-Arsenal. I mean, Villa are desperate for points. I mean, Arsenal, you guys are saying that this is Arsenal's season. This is where they would trip over their own shoelaces. They just had a cracking result in Europe. It's a lunchtime kickoff, not the early kickoff on Saturday, but the early kickoff on Sunday. I mean,
Steve, you point out a very good thing. Arsenal do have an ability to really mess up when they get a bit of a run going and lose these sort of fixtures 1-0. But Villa are too poor. I can't see anything other than an away win.
Villa have got, again, injury problems. Micah Richards is definitely out this week.
That's a good thing, surely.
Well, no, he's been one of their better players this season.
What these two clubs, because it's Christmas and a bit festive spirit, they should just have a shrug off instead of a game of football, because there's enough.
Oh, they could just play
elements.
They could just play bull. Is it?
Yeah, bull. Yeah, just get in the centre circle. Just, you know.
I think Arsenal will have too much for them. Even though Villa are starting to show some resilience, I think Arsenal have too much for them. I'm going to go for a repeat of last week, 3-1 to Arsenal.
Okay. So Ryan, you went away win as well.
Yeah, away win there.
Yeah, I mean Arsenal beat Villa last season 3-0, 4-0, and 5-0. Yeah. I think Arsenal just too good. Okay,
3-0, I think.
Liverpool, West Brom. I mean, Klopp again. You know, really poor result against Newcastle, one which apparently nobody saw coming. And Tony Pulis is just going to be lying waiting for him, and they're going to be resolute, organised, tough to break down. All the things that Liverpool are not going to want. I mean, they're going to want to counter attack, to press. Sturridge, another hamstring injury. Coutinho should be available, I understand. What are we thinking, guys?
Yeah, definitely. Coutinho played half an hour last night in the Europa League, came on for the last half an hour, so he'll be fit. So he'll make a big change to them. Yeah, I think Liverpool will definitely have too much for them, especially with Coutinho back. Hopefully he'll link up well with Firmino. Sturridge isn't there, that takes rid of that problem. Leave Benteke on the bench, his movement isn't good enough. 3-0 to Liverpool.
Yeah, I've got an opposing view there. I don't think any manager in this division wants to face West Brom. The Pulis factor is strong. Klopp, okay, he's not going to be ignorant about it, but he might get a false sense of security from this one. He might he might, you know, play a more open game than he probably should against West Brom. I think they could slip up here. I mean, they have the quality. I would go, I'll call it a 1-1 draw. I'm being a bit drawish today, but yeah, a 1-1 draw.
I'm going 0-0 again.
Oh, jeez.
It's West Brom's Tony Pulis.
I know, but...
Okay, now, player. Spurs, Newcastle. I mean, Spurs, I mean, this surely is a chance for them to cement their top four ambitions, or are they even credible title challengers? I mean, if you're saying, you know, Leicester can finish in the top four, with some pretty mediocre teams up there.
Yeah, I mean, Spurs, I mean, they had an easy game last night for a Thursday night game. Lamella with his first half hat-trick, so they wouldn't have had to work too hard in the second half. So hopefully save some energy. Only thing is they're playing Newcastle and it's on TV, and we all know what happens when Newcastle are on TV.
Hear that stat this week? They've something like double the points average per game on TV than when they're not on TV.
Yeah, that's true. Their win percentage
is double.
That is crazy.
Well, it just tells you everything you need to know about that squad, right?
Yeah. And soon as Newcastle go down, if they go behind 1-0, their heads always drop.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go Spurs 4-0.
Whoa.
I was actually thinking about a new incentive for Newcastle. After reading what I saw in the papers this week, that they should sort of, you know, you have, you know, financial incentives for winning games, but they should have, like, penalties for losing. So you have to go and work in one of his factories. You've seen this Sports Direct Gulag thing, right? So you have to spend the week in there if you lose the game. What do you reckon? Getting strip searched on the way out? And
definitely have been harassed by a loudspeaker if you take too long in the bathroom.
I'm going to do a Steve. I'm going to say 0-0. I think this is going to be a disappointing game.
Scrooge.
Spurs are too good for Newcastle. 2-0 Spurs. Now, Leicester, Chelsea. I mean, surely this is the last fixture that Chelsea want right now. I mean, I would actually argue they would want a top four team because they're more likely to come out and play and actually be motivated. But the egg on their face again after losing to Bournemouth, if they then go and lose to Leicester. I mean,
this is the game where Chelsea comes out.
Yeah. What is this? It's that Einstein thing, you know, is it insanity? Just keeping, you know, saying the same thing.
I think you're absolutely right. This is a terrible fixture for Chelsea. And I think they'll come undone. I think Leicester will win. And it's so strange to say that.
Well, Leicester will have had, you know, 9 days since their last fixture.
They'll be motivated. They won't fear Chelsea. They'll want to take it to
and
them.
And Ranieri's going to be right
of
up
course.
For
wow.
And the pace of Leicester against John Terry and his caravan as he's running along. Vardy, you know, that Chelsea's back four aren't the quickest. And Leicester do like to move the ball quite quickly. I agree. I think Leicester 2-0.
2-1 I'm going for. Oh, 2-1 to Leicester.
I just can't see Chelsea again. It's just miserable. It really, really is.
But this could be the game where Chelsea come back.
It could be. Yeah. 2-1 Leicester.
You'd be happy to draw it. Is that that?
I would.
Yeah,
that's
the comment.
I would. Now, on a brighter note, our Star Wars quiz. And by the way, I forgot to say, we're all sitting here in Santa Claus outfits today, and there's no way of you to prove otherwise. So what we're going to do here is I have taken every single Premiership manager, and by the way, sorry, for Swansea, I put down both Gary Monk and Brendan Rodgers, just because I wanted Brendan Rodgers in. And you, basically, Tom and Ryan have to match my answer, which is which Star Wars character have I matched them to? Now, both are proclaiming not to be anoraks, so I'm going to give them a little bit of clues. So we'll start off with Claudio Ranieri, and I have matched him to a character that has been in all six films, featured prominently in all six films.
What's the old bad guy that stands alongside Darth Vader?
The Emperor?
Yeah, maybe him.
But he's really horrible and miserable.
But he's old and he wears bad clothes.
There's a lot of older people than Ranieri in here. Well, they're
younger.
So you're going with the Emperor?
I'm going with the Emperor.
I'm going to go with the Yoda, yeah.
Well, I went with C-3PO.
Oh, okay.
You know, he's kind of like sort of quirky robot. That
I can see that. It's got
so either. So that's a miss for both of you. Now,
Arsene. Going to be misses all along.
Arsene Wenger. This was a star of the original three movies, so 4,
I
5, and 6.
More about this.
Now, if Ryan thinks about this and knows me, he will know this one. Tom?
I'm going with Yoda again. That's
you're
not really
just going to keep saying Yoda. I'll give you a clue. You'll get one right if you do that.
Yeah. No, I'm going with Yoda, yeah.
Okay, you're going with Yoda?
Oh, there are so many miserable characters, though.
Come on, come on.
It's knowledge. That's why I went with the knowledge thing.
Come on, quick. The Emperor.
Princess Leia. Come on, Ryan. That was an open goal for you. All right, now, Manuel Pellegrini.
You have croissants over his ears.
Yeah, exactly. Manuel Pellegrini.
Yoda.
Oh, this was someone who is in... was in the original Star Wars, and then was also in the new three ones.
Kenobi, whatever.
Yes,
Obi-Wan.
Whoa, we're off the mark with Tom.
Well done.
Okay, now Louis Van Gaal. Come on, Ryan.
Well, Chewbacca, because he's just got loads of hair and stuff.
No.
I would say aesthetically, Jabba the Hutt.
Jabba the Hutt. No.
Yeah.
He's not that fat.
Nah, I went with Darth Vader, mate. He's just like
Darth
big and
Vader.
Imposing.
He's not evil. No. He's just.
He's not the anti
of just football. Big and menacing. And Mauricio Pochettino.
I put him as the lead singer in the band.
Okay, lead singer in the
with
Star Wars band. Yep.
Saxophone built into his mouth.
Okay.
Han Solo?
No. I put him down as all the stormtroopers because I reckon he's that hard. He just, knock all everybody over. Okay,
but so he's stylish. Yeah, he's definitely stylish.
All right, now Alan Pardew.
Darth Vader.
This is one of the characters from the original three. No, because we've already had Louis Van Gaal as Darth Vader. So this was from the original movies.
What's that guy on the jetpack?
Boba Fett. The bounty
Boba
hunter.
Fett?
Yes, Boba Fett.
Okay, you're going with Boba Fett.
I'll go with I'm going to go the same.
Can't go the same. Okay.
You can, but
I haven't got any that many.
But you're both wrong. Han Solo. Because
really?
In his own mind, that's who he is. He's
no.
a suave and sophisticated.
In his own mind.
Okay.
Now, Slaven Bilic.
Oh, he's tough.
He's tough.
See, I'd make him Han Solo, but...
Yeah.
Nah, because Han Solo's a good guy.
What's
Slaven Bilic?
Darth, the other guy with the black and red face.
Darth Maul.
Darth Maul?
That's my one, yeah.
Okay, I can see the logic there. Ryan, who are you going with? You can't have Han Solo because
I can't. It would have been Han Solo, but in the absence of that, the Emperor.
No. Well, should have gone with Boba Fett, mate. Because I reckon Bilic would have 1,000 different ways to kill you.
Yeah, he's
in a really evil and the whole thing. Okay, Jurgen Klopp.
Han Solo or Rian?
No, we've
Luke Skywalker, young, handsome, suave.
Yeah.
Bear that in mind for later, but. So you're going with Luke Skywalker?
I'm going to have to... Oh, yeah, Luke Skywalker.
Nah, this is Yoda. He's, quirky, and he's... Apparently, he's the fountain of all knowledge, and he runs around being
Yoda.
A bit nuts. And okay, Roberto Martinez.
I hate to think what you're going to leave
I would have gone. Well, I know really, I would have gone C-3PO.
He's going to be the dealer of all.
So
the
you would
junk.
Have gone. Well, he's not C-3PO.
Yeah.
He's going to be the dealer of all the junk in one of the things that there's.
No, he's actually one. He's actually one of the central characters.
Oh really?
Yeah. Was in all six movies.
R2-D2.
R2-D2. Just this little sort of round squeaky thing.
Doing stuff.
Now, Kiki Sanchez Flores. This is a hard one. This is from the original three movies.
Lando, whatever is the
Lando Calrissian.
That's the one, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Okay. Right, who are you going with?
No
I
think.
All right, well, Tom's got the point. What a staggering guess that was, Lando Calrissian.
My Star Wars knowledge, I had to write down.
He's kind of smooth
and
suave and the whole thing. And, okay, Mark Hughes.
Oh, he's great, Mark Hughes.
Chewbacca.
I would agree with that. His approach is loud. Yes, he's not that loud a character, anyway.
You have big hair, didn't you? I just think of him with the big hair.
Come on, gonna have to hurry up. No.
Can't think.
Okay, this is from the newer of the three. The Phantom Menace and the whole thing.
The leader of the good guys in the Parliament.
No.
Who's that guy?
No, it's not him. Count Dooku I went for.
Count
Indeed. Now, Ronald Koeman.
Ronald Koeman. Be one of the newer characters as well. But I can't
this is from the... Only appeared in the original Star Wars.
Oh, really?
Mm. And is not a person.
Nothing.
Is he the thing inside the rock that he had to put his hand in? Was that Flash Gordon?
What are you talking about?
Didn't Luke Skywalker, he visited Yoda in the swamp.
Does it begin with A?
No, he goes into a cave thing. No. Oh. I had him down as the Death Star. Because I actually reckon that in a fight he could blow up an entire planet. He just looks that hard to me. So. Now, Tony Pulis.
The Emperor.
Have we had Darth Vader? I forget.
We have had Darth Vader, yeah. Was
definitely the Emperor.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you.
No, obviously. Jabba the Hutt.
What?
It's just a bit kind of wobbly.
Steve Bruce would be Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah. Well, he definitely would have been. Jose Mourinho.
The Emperor.
Tom?
Yeah, I'm going with
that. Yeah.
Finally, I'm the Emperor.
Okay, now, Gary Monk and Brendan Rodgers. Now, this is from the Phantom Menace. So the first of the new ones.
What's that silly gloopy character that sort of had a West Indian
accent? This comes later. Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar Binks.
Comes later, yeah.
But actually he's meant to be secretly very shrewd.
Who? Gary
Monk? Jar Jar Binks. So that wouldn't apply.
No. Okay. Well, I put Gary Monk just down as a Padawan learner, just because, you know.
Okay.
I put Brendan Rodgers down as the young Anakin Skywalker, and I mean the little kid. So it's just this little kid sort of like in charge of a spaceship with absolutely no idea
punching
what's going
well
on.
His way.
Who reckons he's like, you know, the most powerful Jedi in the world. Yeah, so. Okay, now, Alex Neil.
Well, you rate him, so there's going to be someone sophisticated.
But there's a lot of... I'll give you a clue.
You said Obi-Wan.
I'll give you a clue.
Yeah, yes.
I'll give you a clue. I think there's a lot of menace in Alex Neil.
Well, then Darth Maul.
Darth Maul for you.
Did we know I had Darth Maul already?
No. Darth Vader.
Darth Maul.
Darth Maul, yeah, it is Darth Maul. Too good a clue. Now, Eddie Howe.
Oh, he's lovable, isn't he?
Everybody loves Eddie Howe.
Lovable Eddie Howe. Yeah.
All-round good guy.
Maybe the man serving the drinks behind the bar.
No, central character, first three films.
Chewbacca.
I've used up most of my answers, yeah. I've got nothing.
It's a good guy, give you a clue, he's a good guy. No? Luke Skywalker, everyone just loves him and he's so pure and the whole thing, he'll never go to the dark side, he's going to keep playing football and you know.
I guess I'm looking at features.
Steve McLaren.
Oh God. Were there any umbrella holding characters?
Well, I mean, let's just think of a figure of fun from the...
Were there any clowns in Star Wars?
From the Phantom Menace, that series.
Yeah, you'd definitely be one of those.
He's already been. You've already been mentioned.
Oh, Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar Binks for you. Who are you going with, Tom?
I'll go with Padam Admidala, the female. I've written it down.
Padme.
Yeah, that's the one.
No, Jar Jar Binks. Sam Allardyce.
Oh, I like Binks. Jabba the Hutt.
No, we've had Jabba the Hutt.
Nice.
Big, gruff.
Chewbacca!
You going with Chewbacca? Who are you
Watto.
Going with? You just, no, you're clutching the straws. Now, Ryan's fighting back, mate. He is Chewbacca. Oh. Now, Remy Gard.
Any charlatans in the stories?
I can't believe it.
No, I've got nothing.
Well, I should just put him down as uncredited.
Well, yeah,
yes,
yeah.
I think that's right.
And it's a tie.
No way.
Five nil.
Five all.
So that means I need to come up with something.
Tiebreaker. You didn't plan for that, did you?
On the spot. The problem is we could be here all day.
We caught the host out.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that.
Is it Star Wars related? Because I'll just hand the victory over. I'll be gracious.
Because this is a podcast, we could do scissors, paper, stones. Yeah, the people would enjoy that.
All right, why don't you do that? I'll commentate. So,
one, two, three. Oh, yes.
And Ryan's won with Stone Beat Scissors. Ryan is the Christmas Star Wars champion.
What a tiebreak for radio.
So there you go. So that takes us to the end of our last Friday Beyond the 90 podcast from Singapore this year. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you again soon.